Genesis, you're in chapter 28 for our scripture reading, and we're going to move ahead a little bit to chapter 35. We'll be referring to chapter 38 or 28 again, but also chapter 35. You know, someone says, all right, Bethel Baptist Church, where'd that name come from? Where do we get Bethel Baptist Church? What does Bethel mean? Where does it come from? Well, this is the first place in the Bible that we read this morning where Bethel is mentioned. In Genesis chapter 28, where we read, Jacob met with God, and he vowed that he would serve God, and God promised him some things. He said, I'll give you my presence, my power, I'll give you promises for your whole posterity. You will have children to make a nation and fill many nations. And he says, I'll give you a land, I'll give you a place. God promised him power, posterity, and place if he would just serve him. And Jacob says, Lord, if you'll, I'm going away like my parents asked me to do, to go find a wife, but I've just met with you here. And we read that passage about the ladder, and God met with him. And he says, if you'll bring me back to this place, I'll serve you. I'll serve you. Well, in chapter 29 and 30, Jacob then takes his journey to the area called Padan Aram. This is the area near where Abraham and Isaac and all them had originally come from. And Jacob was sent back there by his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, to try to find a wife from those people. So as his parents wish, he's going back and seeking a wife. He's there 7 years, and he works for 7 years to get Rebekah as his wife, and her father plays a trick on him, remember this? And they give him Leah instead of Rachel, and he doesn't know it till it's too late, the wedding's over, and he's married to Leah. He works another 7 years, and then receives Rachel as a wife, and then he works another 6 years, and gains flocks and herds and things like that. And so he's 20 years in Padan Aram. And then God comes to him again in chapter 31, and he says, Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. The God who talked to you that night when the ladder came down, and now it's time for you to go back to Bethel. And so Jacob packs up and gets ready to go. On the way back, he's afraid because he's going to meet his brother Esau. Some of you know the story. Jacob had pulled a fast one on his brother. He had stolen the birthright and the blessing away because Esau was the oldest. He should have had those things, but Jacob tricked him out of it. And so now he's going back and he's wondering if his brother Esau is going to be mad at him. If his brother Esau is going to maybe even kill him. He's worried about it. And on the way back, he wrestles, I believe, with God. He wrestles with God. Then he meets Esau, and God blesses. And after that, Jacob is heading back, but he does not quite make it to Bethel. God told him to go back to Bethel, but he doesn't make it to Bethel. He gets sidetracked, and he goes to this area called Succoth, and also another area called Shalem or Salem. And he camps there near the town of Shechem. Shechem was a wicked city. And while he's there in Shechem, and not back to Bethel where he should have been, Jacob's daughter Dinah is defiled. His sons get so upset about it that they trick the men of Shechem and go and murder them all and kill them all off. The rest of the people of Shechem are all upset at Jacob and his family. And things are not going well. And finally, Jacob goes back to Bethel. Look down in chapter 35 now. We'll pick up the story in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household, unto all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Remember, the people of Shechem were upset at them. But the Lord did a miracle here, and they did not pursue after Jacob. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Elon Bacheth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereupon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Here we see Jacob finally going back to Bethel. Father, I pray that you'll help me as I preach this message. Lord, I believe you've given it to me. I believe you have something specific you're trying to accomplish in our lives today. And I pray that each one of us would understand the meaning of coming back to Bethel. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, there's such importance to this one place in Jacob's life. Oh, the importance of Bethel. What is that place, Bethel, to us today? First of all, in the Bible, Bethel is a place of restored communication. Restored communication. You see, God had appeared to Jacob back in chapter 28. Let's turn back there now for a moment. I want to thank Jonathan for reading that for us. The wonderful story of Jacob's ladder. You see, Jacob had heard about God from Isaac, his father, and from Abraham, his grandfather. He heard all about God, but he had not met God himself. Folks, it's not enough that our parents know God. We've got to meet Him ourselves. It's not enough that our granddad or grandmother was godly and knew God. We've got to know Him ourselves. And it's here in Genesis chapter 28 that Jacob meets with God. The God of Bethel is the God of our early, unexpected blessings. Look down at verse 16. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I knew it not. He said, I didn't realize that God was going to meet me here at Bethel. I knew it not. God was in this place. The God of Bethel is the God of our early, unexpected blessings. Here, early in Jacob's life, he's just going out at his parents' request to go try to find a wife. Not even married yet. Early, God comes to him. And unexpectedly, he said, I knew it not. Hey, when did you first meet the Lord? Was it early and unexpected? Perhaps like Jacob, we were asleep when the Lord came to us. Asleep spiritually. Maybe we didn't really know anything about God or want anything about Him in our lives. But He came to us, maybe through a soul winner, or through a gospel tract, or through some preaching you heard, and the Lord came to you and you weren't ready for it. And you said, surely God is in this place and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. But He came to me. Perhaps like Jacob, you were in a sad and lonely condition. Jacob had just left home. And he was out in a desert place. And it got dark, it became nightfall, and so he pulls up a stone for his pillow. And he falls asleep there on that stone. I imagine he was probably cold, probably lonely. Remember your first night away from home when you were a kid? Remember what it was like? You know, you were really nervous about it, and then you're away from home, and maybe you even prayed, Lord, be with me. I'm away from my mom and my dad. And just what that's like. And here Jacob is in this desert place. Perhaps the first time you boarded an airplane to leave your family. How many remember the first time you got on an airplane? Maybe you never did, okay, to leave your family and what it was like. I remember we were loading up a motorhome one time to go on a mission trip. We were going to be gone a couple weeks. And my wife is not usually very emotional, but as we got ready to go into that motorhome, she started crying. I'm like, what in the world? And you know I'm emotional, so once she lost it, I just lost it for sure. But we were only going to be gone 2 weeks. But here Jacob is leaving home, and he knows if he ever makes it back, things are going to be different. But he's afraid of Esau. He's running from Esau. He's got some problems here. He doesn't know if he'll ever be back. And he lays down on that pillow to rest. How lonely and sad he must have been. But how happy he was when he woke up, because God met with him. God met with him that night. And I got thinking about that, and I said, Lord, give me a desert place if it means that it's there that I'll meet with you. Lord, if I'll get to meet with you and know your presence and power and promises, then okay, Lord, give me a desert place if it means that I'll have that precious meeting with you. And we know the story of Jacob's ladder. There's a ladder that connects heaven and earth. More importantly, that ladder connects God with Jacob, because it starts right there where Jacob is laying down and ascends all the way up into heaven. Jacob's famous ladder. Do you ever wonder what that ladder represents? I believe the ladder represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember Jesus Christ? He, 1 foot in earth and 1 foot in heaven. He was 100% God and 100% man. And that ladder is the only access for Jacob to God. And so Jesus Christ is the only access for us to heaven. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't get to heaven by trusting your own good deeds. You can't get there without the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jacob's ladder. That ladder is access to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way to heaven. If you've come today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, if you're not positive you've received Him, would you realize today that Christ is the only way to get to God? You won't get there by baptism. You won't get there by good works. You won't get there by church membership. You won't get there by keeping the golden rule. The only way to get to the Lord Jesus Christ is by Jesus, or to get to God is by Jesus Christ. The only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the ladder also of communication. Remember, as Jacob saw that vision, he saw the angels. And what were those angels doing? Going up and down on the ladder. You know, there's a lot of traffic on that ladder to heaven. The prayers go up and the blessings come down. A lot of traffic on Jacob's ladder. If we only knew how many blessings were traveling down, we would certainly be sending more prayers up that ladder. Jacob's ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. He's the one to whom we pray. You can't pray to Mary and have her take the prayers to God. Jesus is our mediator between God and man. Well, this ladder also carries to heaven Jacob's vow. Let's read it again in chapter 28, verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee." Jacob says, listen, at the end of verse 21, "The Lord shall be my God." He says, "Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I've seen you. This is the house of God." He calls the place Bethel, which means house of God. El is the word for God, and Beth, the word for house. Bethel means house of God. He said, surely this must be the house of God, because the angels are coming up and down right here. This must be the place where God is. Bethel. Go to chapter 31. As we think about Jacob's vow that he made, you know, when the Lord first reveals himself to us, at that moment the right thing to do seems so obvious, doesn't it? When the Lord opens up Himself to us in salvation, and we receive Christ as Savior, it just seems so obvious to say, "Lord, you saved me. You're going to be my God. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be what you want me to be. You want me to be baptized? I'll do it. You want me to join the church? I'll do it. I will do what you want me to do. Lord, you are my God." It seems so easy to do that at that moment when God reveals Himself to us. Remember, at salvation, how you said, "Lord, I just love you." Remember how excited you were to be saved, and how you just wanted to live for God your whole entire life? You were overwhelmed with His presence, and you were convicted of the greatness of His love, and you said, "There's nothing better than you, God. There's nothing better than knowing you. I just want to live for you. I want to serve you with my life." But it's easy to get sidetracked. And that's what happened to Jacob. Instead of just going and getting a wife and coming back, he ended up 20 years in Padan Aram. And he probably would have stayed there longer if God had not stirred up his nest. And in chapter 31, down at verse 13, God comes back to him and says, "Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." He said, "Jacob, you've forgotten. You're supposed to be coming back and serving me, and you've been 20 years here. I'm the God of Bethel." What did that mean to Jacob? When God said to him, "I am the God of Bethel," I think first of all it meant, "I haven't changed." God was telling Jacob, "Listen, Jacob, I haven't changed. I'm the same God that you saw 20 years ago when you had your head on that stone and you saw me exalted in heaven, and the messages were going up and down from the angels. And I remember that altar you built, Jacob, and you poured oil upon that altar, and you said I would be your God. Now come on, it's time to get back. Back to Bethel. Back to the place of restored communication." Oh, things were frustrating in Padan Aram. He was working under Laban, and Laban changed his wages 10 times and accused him of stealing and all these other problems. And Jacob was basically pulling his hair out there because he wasn't where God wanted him to be. And finally God says, "Come on, I'm the God of Bethel. I haven't changed." Isn't God's immutability a great mercy? Isn't it great to know that God does not change? When He said to you, "Listen, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved." Well, He doesn't change. And so even if it's been 20 years like Jacob, God still remembers that time when you called on Him. He still remembers when you said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm trusting You as Savior. I'm receiving You today." The Lord remembers that, and He doesn't change. He doesn't change. It's not going to be 30 years down the road and the Lord says, "Well, you know, I was going to save you if you received Christ and you received Him, but I kind of changed that now, you know. The rules are different now." No. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." OK? Okay, if God was a changing God, we would be consumed. We would be consumed. But He does not change. His immutability is a great mercy. When He says, I am the God of Bethel, Jacob probably thought, He hasn't changed. And then Jacob probably thought this, He remembers me. He remembers me. Here I've been away from the house of God, Bethel. I've been away from it for 20 years. But God remembers me. God remembered Jacob. God remembered Jacob's promise. God remembered the wonderful plan that He had for Jacob's life. Perhaps we have stayed away too long. Maybe 20 years. Maybe less. The truth is, any time away from where God wants us to be is too long, isn't it? But even if we've stayed too long, God still calls us back. And He says, I remember you. I remember those promises you made. I remember when you were so excited about living for me and laying up your treasure in heaven. I still remember that. It's time to come back. I believe the Lord today is calling us back. Back to Bethel. Back to the place of restored communication with Him. Remember those days when your prayer times were sweet? And the Bible was exciting to you and it meant something special. God says, come back to Bethel. Come back to Bethel. Come back to that place of restored communication where we're communicating once again. Where you're talking to me and I'm talking to you and you have that closeness with God. Come back to Bethel. Bethel is the place of restored communication. But not only that, number two, it's the place of renewed vision. Renewed vision. Because when Jacob then leaves Laban and Padan Aram, and he's got his two wives at this time, and all the flocks, and he's heading back to go back to Bethel, he gets as far as Shechem, and then he gets sidetracked again. And the Lord appears to him a third time and says, Jacob, get back to Bethel. You see, in Shechem, Jacob and his family got involved with idols. Remember reading that? They got involved with idols. Folks, an idol is anything that takes the place of God in our lives, becomes more important to us than God. An idol isn't only an object of wood or stone that you bow down and worship. You see, the old-fashioned idols that people worship that are made of stone and wood, the reason that's a sin is because they're worshiping that idol instead of God. They're putting that hunk of wood before God. Anything we put before God can be an idol. It could be a job. It could be a person. It could be a possession, a car, some other kind of vehicle that becomes so important to us then that it becomes more important to us than serving God. And Jacob got sidetracked by that, and we will get sidetracked by idols if we're not careful. Things that become more important to us. Maybe it's what people think of us. It becomes so important to us that we don't worry about what God wants for us because what will that person say or what will my friends think? Often it's material possessions that become idols in our lives. And in Shechem, Jacob and his family became involved with idols. Then they had some terribly discouraging tragedies. His daughter Dinah, defiled. And then his sons murdering the men of Shechem. And all these trials and all these discouragements were to bring Jacob to the point where he said, okay, now I'm ready, God. Now I'm coming back to Bethel. I'm tired. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from God. But now I'm coming back. And Jacob calls his family together and says, okay, we're going back to Bethel. First of all, get rid of all the idols. Folks, if we're going to come back to Bethel, back to that restored communication and back to that renewed vision, we've got to get rid of the idols. You see, God wants to restore your vision. He wants it to be that you're excited about serving God again, where you're thinking, you know, I could win somebody to the Lord. I could see some people saved. I could serve God. I could teach a Sunday school class. I could bring some people to church on a van. I could see God use my life. I could sing in the choir. I could do different things for Him. God wants you to have that vision restored. First step, get rid of the idols. Confess that sin. A preacher like me could stand up here and start naming off different sins. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible does it. But today I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do that. What is it that is keeping you from that vision? From that excitement about the spiritual Christian walk? What is that idol in your life? Confess it to Him today. Get right with Him about it. Put away those idols, and you're ready to go back to Bethel and have that vision renewed. Jacob had sins to confess, but he also had circumstances to overcome. I mentioned those with Dinah and his sons, but you know, sometimes the circumstances in our lives are to draw us back to God. Not all the time. Sometimes you go through trials, and it's just a trial of your faith, and it doesn't mean you're not right with God. But sometimes those circumstances do mean that we're not right. And God brings them to bear in our lives as loving chastisement, as a godly spanking to say, come on, I love you and I want you back. Get back in line where you're supposed to be. And God calls us back to Bethel through those trials and through those hard times. And Jacob got pretty low right here. He called his sons in. He said, you have caused me to stink in the eyes of the people around here. And it was true. And Jacob said, that's it. I should have gone a long time. Long time ago, I should have been back where God wants me to be. We're going back to Bethel. The beauty of the story is that God accepted the repentance of Jacob. And God renews his vision. Remember, he's going to be the father of a great nation. God has great plans for Jacob's life. He changes his name to Israel. He says, you're going to be different now. Before you were Jacob, and the word Jacob means a cheater. But now you're going to be Israel. And Israel means, anybody know? Prince with God. Prince with God. Now you're going to be a prince with God. God's got a great plan for your life. God's going to raise you to the royal plan that He has for your life as a prince of God. God has something special for your life. And God renews Jacob's vision. He had gone really low. About as low as you can go. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Broke that commandment. Thou shalt not kill. They broke that commandment. About as low as he could go. But God loved him and wanted him back at Bethel. So Jacob gets right with God about the idols. He overcomes the discouraging circumstances. And he heads back to Bethel with God's presence, with God's protection. Remember, the other people of the land were afraid to do anything to him. And with God's provision. Jacob says, I went into this land with only a staff. And now I come back as two bands of people. So Bethel is the place of restored communication, the place of renewed vision. And lastly, Bethel is the place of refreshed commitment. Look back at chapter 35 and let's see Jacob's commitment refreshed. Oh, if we would come back to Bethel today, we would say, okay, God, renew that communication, renew that vision. But to do it, we have to renew our commitment. We have to say, like Jacob, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be committed to it. Look at chapter 35 and verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Hey, the first time he called it Bethel, house of God. Now the second time he calls it El Bethel. He says, now I'm not only focused on the fact that this is the house of God, but I'm going to call it the God of the house of God. I'm not just focused on the house, I'm focused on the God of the house of God. El Bethel, the God of the house of God. He began that renewed relationship, that refreshed commitment with the Lord. Look at his commitment in verse 13. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon, and called the name of the place where God spake to him, Bethel. Hey, the first time when he saw the ladder, he set up an altar and he poured oil as a sacrifice to God. Now the second time, he sets up that altar, perhaps the same spot. Oh, the importance of that place in Jacob's life. It's a wilderness place, and he brought his two bands of people back, and they're probably following him around. He's trying to locate the exact spot. And then he comes to it. He comes to that one place and he says, there it is. It's broken down a little bit. That altar that I built to God, it's broken down a little bit, but this is the spot. Hey, Rachel, come here. This is the spot. This is the spot where I told God I would serve him. Where I told God I'll do whatever you want me to do. We've been gone a long time. Lots of bad stuff has happened, but this is the spot. God told me to come back to it, and if we come back, we can serve him again. And he rebuilds that altar. And this time he pours oil on it, but the Bible says he also pours a drink offering. Folks, a drink offering in the Bible is different from a lot of other offerings. A lot of times they would offer some kind of an offering, and the priest would get to eat a portion of it, but not the drink offering. Nobody ever drinks the drink offering. It is poured out as a drink to God. And it's poured out totally to him. And it's burned up on that altar so as to never be taken back again. And Jacob here is refreshing his commitment to God. He's saying, God, I'm not only pouring oil on here like before, but this time I'm pouring the drink offering. I'm giving you everything. And this time I'm not taking it back. I'm pouring it on the altar. I'm coming back to the God of Bethel. Back to Bethel. So we see Jacob's vow. He gave all to God. It may be that there will be some here today hearing this message, maybe some Jacobs, who promised to serve God, but you got distracted from God's call. You promised, you said, Lord, I believe you want me to do this with my life, but you're not doing it. You can come back today. You can climb the ladder of prosperity. Or you can climb Jacob's ladder. You can climb the ladder of status, trying to make something of your life. Or you can climb Jacob's ladder and say, God, I'm coming back to you. God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel. And I believe the Lord says to us today, arise, go back to Bethel. Go back to that place where you told God you would give him your life and give it to him anew and afresh. At the first meeting, Jacob promised to give God a tenth of everything that he had. That's where we get the tithe from, and we give God a tenth of our income. But the second time, Jacob said, God, I give you everything. I just give it all to you. It all belongs to you. I'm not saying you should put all your money in the offering plate, but the truth is all of our money belongs to God. All of our life belongs to God. And when we come back to Bethel and we renew that commitment, we say, Lord, I give you my life. That's what God wants. And God receives it of Jacob. Wicked old Jacob, who had gone away and been a backslider all those years, God lovingly, willingly takes him back. And he renews his promises. He says there in chapter 35, he says, I am God Almighty. In other words, Jacob, I have the power to change you. I have the power to change your name. You're not going to be Jacob anymore. You're going to be Israel. And I have the power to change your character because you're not going to be a cheater anymore. You're going to be a prince with God. Listen, when we give God everything, he's got the power to change our lives around. You can't change your own life around. You can't live the Christian life on your own. You can't say, I'm going to just try harder. It doesn't work that way. We come to God and we say, God, I can't change my life, so I just give it to you. You change it. You surrender. Oh, we've got to take little steps of faith, but he's the one that does it. And he says, I'm God Almighty. El Shaddai. the powerful one. He can overcome whatever it is that has kept us from being where God wants us to be. He's the God of Bethel. He also promises Jacob once again posterity. He had told him before, you're going to have so many offspring they can't be numbered. Now he tells him again, I'll make you a nation, a company of nations. Kings shall come out of you. He promises him posterity. And then lastly, he promises him a place. He says, I will bring you into that land that I promised to Abraham and to Isaac, to your father and your grandfather. You're going to get that land. It's going to come through you. You are the promised seed. Now, on the way back, Jacob had a time of wrestling. And folks, it may be that there's a time of wrestling on the way back to God. If you might even be wrestling with it in your seat today. You're thinking, I don't know, because if I give everything to God, I mean, what if I mess up again? Or what if I go... God doesn't care about that. He says, arise, go back to Bethel. Arise. You're never going to get there if you don't go back. There may be a time of wrestling at first, because the world and the flesh and the devil fight the return to Bethel. The world fights it. The world, you know, God, we want to serve you. But then we look over here and these worldly things seem so alluring. And the devil makes them look like fun. The Bible calls it the pleasure of sin for a season. And we think, you know, I like being involved in that stuff. And there's a pull. And the wrestling match begins as Jacob wrestled with God. The flesh has a pull. Our own sinful flesh, the things that we desire, the things that we crave. Sometimes it's wanting to make it big in life or something like that. And all those things of the flesh. And then the devil wrestles. Oh, most of us are not important enough for the devil himself to come. It's probably just one of his demons. But they wrestle. And they try to bring temptations our way. And they bring those idols back in and make it feel like I'm not worthy to serve God. Truth is, none of us are worthy. But God says, come back. Come back to Bethel. God wanted to lift him to that royal life for God. And he wants to do the same thing for us. He wants your life to count for eternity. He wants you to do something that's going to count for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation it says that Christians, we can be kings and princes with God, just like Jacob had his name changed to Prince with God. It may be that you're busy about the things of God, but your heart is not in it. And you need that restored communication. You need that renewed vision. And you need that refreshed commitment. Oh, today, come back to Bethel. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you so much for putting the truths of Bethel in the Scripture for us. Father, I believe that the things you told us about the life of Jacob are to woo us back, to bring us back to that point of commitment, to that communication with you, to that place of vision again where we realize that you have something special planned for our lives. Father, I pray that today we would be in that place of Bethel, and if we've departed, that we would come back to Bethel this morning. And I pray this all in Jesus' name.